So, ladies and gentlemen, for people listening or watching online, we have the wonderful Tammy Voss. Tammy, obviously, you know, we've worked together probably for, would you say, about a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, around about.
So, love your page, love your content, you know, female spark, rocking it for the ladies over there. You know, great content. You know, doesn't matter where, obviously, men or women, it is absolutely fantastic content. Really enjoy your page. Like, love watching you use some of the crazy tools, you know, when Milwaukee came down as well and you were smashing some of the MX range. Love watching all that sort of stuff. So we really wanted to get you on the show, give you a bit of airtime to talk about yourself, how you got into the trade, types of things that you experience over there that are different to, say, over here in the UK. And just basically listen to your story of how you came to be where you are sort of now. So I'm going to hand the mic over to you and just take us back to, you know, your first sort of getting into the trade. How did you get into the trade?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for all the kind words, firstly. I got into the trade when I was 17. My dad was a sparky. I do remember, though, when I was like 5 and 6, like sorting out nuts and bolts for him so he could go to work and do all that kind of stuff on the weekends and things like that. And then when I got into deciding what I wanted to do at uni and if uni was even for me, I started working with him on the weekends and realized hands-on might be a bit better than studying. So I approached him for an apprenticeship and then kind of started my career from there and haven't really looked back. It's been a bit of a journey, but it's been very fun, and I've just loved being hands-on every day. Being able to study outside of work is also fun, but, yeah, being able to just get out there and get dirty or just do random jobs every day, it's really cool.
I mean, so going back to you were 17, were you academic at school? Was that something that you enjoyed? Was it something you weren't very good at and you just thought, do you know what, like, it's not for me? Because, you know, the normal progression over here is that everybody gets encouraged to, oh, you need to go to college. And then once you're at college, you need to go to And it's just,
it was very frowned upon when I left school. I will say that I was at a private school and I was good at school. I could have done year 12. Like, I was studying methods and physics and Japanese. Like, I wasn't just not going to school. It was more, I saw taking on a trade at 17 meant I was qualified by 21. So if I did want to go back and study at uni, I would then be a mature age student. So I didn't need year 12 anyway. So I saw it as like, why not get a head start on a career option? And then if it doesn't work out, I'm still young enough to go back to uni if I'm not happy with what I've done. So that's kind of why I decided to take it up at 17, because when I qualified, I then had a choice of what I wanted to do.
What does that involve for you then at 17? Because when we do an apprenticeship, it's day release. So you do one day at college, 4 days working. Is that pretty much the same for you?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same. So I work 4 days a week and then you do one day of trade school. So when I was 17, Dad, I was still going to school, like, I was still living at home. So Dad had just drive me to work with him every day and whatnot. And then, yeah, just kind of went from there.
And at trade school, were you, being female, were you a minority or was there a few?
It was just me.
Just you were the only one?
It was just me. Yeah, I was the only girl for my 4 years in my trade school.
And how did you find that? Because we were speaking to, is it Elle?
Elise.
Yeah. Elise. She was kind of intimidated by being the only girl in an all-male environment.
I mean, did anybody, so you, if the year you started, did you see any other girls coming in after you, even if they're not on the same course on the same year, did you see?
No, like, the lunchroom was just me and all the guys. I was lucky. I went to trade school with one of my other apprentices, so I knew somebody, but I still didn't build that same kind of connection that you would at a normal class if there was girls around. So I really focused on, in trade school, just putting my head down and passing everything. I didn't worry too much about making friends or fitting in. Like, if I went and sat in my car at lunchtime, I went and sat in my car at lunchtime, you know. So it was more get through the day, get my job done, and it'll help me in the long run.
And you never got to the stage where you thought, this isn't for me. You just, like you say, you got your head down and you got through it. Did you have any doubts about
that? Yeah. No, I didn't. I loved the work I was doing. I knew what I was getting myself into. I hadn't seen female tradies around, and so I knew that that's what was going to happen. It was still a little bit sucky at some point where I was like, oh, I wish I got invited to the pub with the guys, or I wish I got to hang out with some of the trade school friends, and things like that. But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm here to learn. I'm here to get better at my trade. If they want to be friends with me, they will. If not, oh well, I'll get through it and that'll be it.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think then needs to change to encourage more girls into what you're doing? Because you obviously love your job. Like watching you on social, like there's some people where you think, do they even like their job? You know, because they're always so angry, but you're always smiling.
Plumbers mainly.
Do you like your job?
There's so many miserable plumbers out there.
But I just feel like, you know, obviously you said that you were privately educated. I mean, you know, from my experience at school, I was never offered to go into trades. I wasn't dumb or not academic. I just, you know, just wasn't interested in it. So something like that probably would have appealed to me. But everybody that we speak to, there seems to be a common theme with people not being encouraged. I mean, did the school look down on you for saying, well, hold on a minute, you know, I've studied Japanese, but now I want to go and become an electrician? Because again, for schools, I think they don't hear from girls that that's what they want to do. And maybe that's because they don't encourage them. What do you think needs to change to potentially get more people?
I think it needs to just, you're right. I might have been a delay there, so I was just jumping in. But I think it may be happening where we are. I'm fortunate enough to go and talk to schools. So I go out and talk to a lot of students when they're in year 10. Social media is a huge one. For young girls to actually be able to see now that we can do it makes them open their mind a little bit more to the fact that that's even an option. You know, like when if we weren't out there talking about it, you don't get offered it at school. They don't really explore those avenues. It's like you've got to make up your mind and then you've got to work it out. And you're so young, you don't know. Like you've never worked on the tools before. So how do you know that that's something you want to do? So I think try a trade days, they're starting to do a lot of those for women. So where you can go and get your hands on some tools and actually work out whether or not you're interested in it, as well as, just I love going out and talking to classes. I talk to maybe year 10, 11 students so they can really see that it's possible.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think we do much like that over here.
There's obviously you go to colleges and stuff like that, and I see.
I go to colleges, but they're already learning plumbing. So
yeah.
It's not, I've never been into a school where they're deciding what they want to do when they leave school.
Because that was quite similar to, there's another electrician called Artisan Electrician, Jordan, over here. And I saw recently he went to a college, but nobody actually, the idea that they're doing there, I think is better than over here. He's actually going in and getting people before they might go to college and then regret going to college or paying to go to university and thinking, actually, I'm on a course here. I'm doing economics. I can't stand it. I mean,
What we need, I think, because obviously your dad was an electrician in the trade, so that's probably, you know, half the reason why you chose that trade. Girls that aren't in a trade family, what do we do to get them to think,
Interested in
you
it.
know, give them access to it, or the idea, plant the seed in their head that they could do it? And it's people like you on social that are probably gonna reach out to them, especially if no one in school's doing it.
And I think it's definitely just broadening the school mindset that you may study to year 12 and you're not going to go to university. You know, you've done your due diligence, you've gone to school, but university is not a career path for you. And I think it's letting schools show that that's okay, because it's so ingrained in the school world is like, all right, we're going to go to university open days. Now you've got to choose your course in year 10 just so you can get to uni in year 12. And I think it's just really trying to open their minds as well to being like, well, you can try a trade and maybe you can explore these subjects to help you understand potentially the trade you want to go into, and actually having that conversation early enough that they can kind of open their eyes to it.
I mean, so you're 17. It takes you 4 years, the same as here, to qualify. So you're 21 now. I mean, where did you go when you qualified? Because that's another daunting thing, I think, for some girls over here, is that they're not only are they going to college or going to study or do their apprenticeship, and it's, you know, all male canteens. They don't get invited to the pub. when they then get to the end of that, sometimes I feel here there's not enough help to find an apprenticeship or the types of things that you'll need to do to market yourself to potential employers. I mean, how did you then progress from your course to then getting work? Did you go and work again with your dad, or did you go and find a new company to take you on? How did you make that transition?
Yeah, I was in a, I guess I'm in a pretty unique situation. So in my fourth year of my apprenticeship, my dad actually fell ill. So I ended up being the one that told everyone what to do at work. So it got a little bit confusing, I guess, you know. So I transitioned quite quickly into being an A-grade electrician, but also helping run the company so he could look after himself. So, yeah, I feel like I was in a bit of a weird situation compared to what maybe other people do and go and then go, I've got my A-grade license, I'm now going to go and put myself in a different field of electrical to learn more about that part of the trade and things like that. So I was thrown in the deep end managing quite young, which was a bit different to what I was expecting when I signed up. But, you know, I learned from it, so I can't complain.
I mean, that's got to be pretty daunting at 21. You know, your father's ill. Like, oh, I'm not going to ask about that situation, but it could have been, you know, quite bad. And you're sitting there thinking, well, actually, I've only just finished my apprenticeship. And then having to go in, I don't know how many people your father employed in his business, but one thing I always struggled with when I first started here was I used to go out and people used to look at me, I'm baby-faced, I'm pretty old now, but baby-faced, people used to be like, I'm not listening to anything that you have to say, I can't take direction from you. So that must have been like, you know, you have to grow up quite quick. And also, you know, again, I don't want to stigmatise or put a label on it, but again, when you're a lady coming in and, you know, some of these guys might be quite bogan or a bit like a big sort of, I'm not going to listen to you, do you know what I mean? And then, you know, how do you handle that at 21?
Yeah, it definitely was a learning curve. I'll be polite about it, I'm sure, but there was some experiences that were very testing. They were very hard. There was a lot of crying. It was hard, but it was having the confidence that I could do it, also knowing I didn't really have a choice not to do it. So it was like, put yourself in the deep end. You've got to find your way through it. So you're just going to have to be strong and you're going to have to get through it. And it was also like a little bit of like, I just want to prove everyone wrong. You know, everyone doesn't believe me when I rock up to a meeting to tell them I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to prove to them that I can. So it was really like not getting too crushed by the fact that people doubted you and using that as a bit of a driving factor to prove them wrong and actually, you know, get jobs done or win jobs or, yeah, just do your job well.
And we spoke about being in a male-dominated classroom and then in a male-dominated industry. So most of your, well, all of your colleagues and the people that you're now managing are male. What about the customers? Because I know from speaking to a lot of female gas engineers over here, sometimes you'll get customers that when they open the door and it's a woman standing there, they're sort of they're either doubting your skills or saying something like, oh, are you here just to measure up for when the real electrician gets here? Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of times where they're like, are you like the assistant? Are you still the apprentice? Where's the boss? You know, like what? And I think it's just the initial shock. And once you explain it to them, they're more intrigued and want to know rather than judging you. Now I feel like it's like, oh, actually that's really cool, you know, but the initial mindset is because of what we've learned, it's what we see, that that's their initial judgment. But yeah, you get used to it and then you just go in and get your job done. You show you know what you're talking about and they can't really question that. If you're getting the job done, that's what they want. They don't really care who does it. So yeah, it's just the initial shock factor.
I guess that's in your mindset. You thrive on that. You want to prove them wrong. You want to show them that you can do it. And it also, maybe it makes you raise your game a bit. Yeah. I know it's
you shouldn't have to, but I find that all of the ladies have a similar trait, is that they feel like they have to know more to just prove to be accepted, yeah, which is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it shouldn't be like that, but that's unfortunately the world we live in. But if you can use it as motivation to push on and be better or achieve more.
I actually think that ladies coming into trades will actually, it will help not just more girls get in there, but actually it will soften this macho-ness of, you know.
I don't know how a guy, when he's called someone in to fix something in his own home, can even act macho, because, you know,
Well, that's me.
Can't do it yourself, mate.
That's me. I am.
You can't even bleed a radiator without ringing me up for advice.
I am that guy. Oh, that's a drill. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought it was a hairdryer.
Yeah. But it's like we even get it. Like I'll turn up to a job and the guy will be like, "Oh yeah, I would have done it myself, but I've not got the time," or "I'd have done it myself, but I don't touch gas." And you just think, "Sure, mate. Like, there's no way you would. You've not got the tools or the skills to do any of this. So it's just bravado." Yeah. But I can imagine it's a lot worse for females.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, if you're in the mindset of using that as energy to, to make yourself.
I mean, so 21 then, you're running the business. I mean, what types of things from the classroom to, say, the boardroom, what type of things then, what other skills did you develop? Because you're having to develop them quick, you know, like managing people, ordering materials, organising guys and girls to be out on site, you know, like... How do you suddenly develop those skills, and what types of things did you discover that were different to being in the classroom?
It was definitely trial and error. Definitely made mistakes, you know. I think it was a lot of being honest that maybe sometimes you don't know what you're doing. I found that if you tried to bluff your way through it, you're gonna muck up. So I put my hand up and said, "Guys, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm trying my best. So just let me give it a go, and if it doesn't work, we'll try something else," you know. So I think it was having the confidence to know that you don't know everything and being willing to let people know that, but also, you know, backing it as well. It's a funny one because I feel like you see a lot of people just go in and go, "Yep, I know what I'm doing. I'm here to do the job, blah, 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 blah," and we'll try and hide if they make mistakes. And I think it's a hard one to learn, though. Like, it really hurts sometimes when you make a mistake and you're disappointed and stuff like that. But I've learned along the way it's easier to make a phone call and say, "Oh, I've made a mistake," before you let it go too far. So I think it's just, it's really just a lot of trial and error and owning your honesty of making mistakes.
Yeah, and learning from the mistakes.
I mean, what's the one bit from that then that you dreaded having to do, but actually now you feel that you've nailed it? Because I always find with the business side of things, there's always something like it's paperwork, you know. But what's the one thing that you've sort of like, you were dreading doing it, but you feel like you've cracked that now? What's one thing?
Just making phone calls. I hated talking to people. I was so scared of talking to people. I used to, like, if somebody would call, I'd look at the number and I'd like let it ring out.
That's what he does to me.
Leave me a voicemail if we need to know.
That's what he does to me. Oh, it's Alex. Put him down.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Not today. So it's just honestly like answering the phone and actually making phone calls. It was so scary. Like, I used to be so scared of talking to people or anything like that. So that's the one thing I'm like, I'm confident enough now to pick up the phone and make a phone call and like push something if I need to, or kind of do that. Otherwise, I would just put it all on voicemail.
I mean, would you clash yourself? Because obviously me and Pete are polar opposites. I'm quite sort of extrovert. Pete's quite introvert. Would you say that at school you were slightly introvert and that's maybe why you've, you know, didn't want to pick up the phone? Because there's people that are listening or watching the podcast, you know, that sit there and think, "Oh, I hate picking up the phone as well," or like, "I don't like face-to-face with customers." And it's great talking to people like you that, you know, might not be like me, that's up in your face and whatever, and hearing how you overcome some of those challenges about picking up the phone and just doing it. Because I'm sure there's loads of people listening to this that think, yeah, it's easy picking up the phone. And then there's others where they go, actually, I hate talking to people, you know. So, like, were you more introvert at school? Would you class yourself as that, or would you class yourself as you can normally talk to people? It was just the phone that you couldn't pick up. Was it stuff?
No, I'm like the most like introverted person. Like, I know it probably doesn't come like that on like camera and, you know, on like Instagram and stuff, but I'll always usually shy away from a conversation. Like, I'm not somebody that would go out and just love like chatting, and I don't know, it's weird. Like, when I'm doing it like this, like, it's fine, but in a big room I'd be like, "Oh, this is really intimidating, it's really nerve-wracking." But I guess it's just something over time I've kind of had to deal with, you know. Like, to be able to do the job I'm doing, I have to talk to people. Like, I can't run a business and not talk to anyone. So it's
quite important that you do get good at that, because if you do look at your phone, it's ringing and you don't answer it, and then you get anxiety over, you know, how many times it's rang you, the best thing you can do is to answer it. Because it's probably a customer who just wants to know, you know, what the status is. And if you ignore them, they're going to keep ringing and ringing and your anxiety is going to get worse. Even if you say to them, look, I'm not going to get to you this week. Just like you say, be honest with them and say, you know, we're fully booked, or I'm stuck on a job, or this has gone wrong, this has gone wrong, but I'm doing my best. I will get to you. Give them something to stop them ringing you, because it is, if they're ringing you and then another customer's ringing you, you're not answering anyone, the phone's just going to keep ringing. Your anxiety is going to get worse and you're never going to get any work done because your phone's always ringing. You need to crack on with some work. So it's quite important. I do it all the time. When I'm stressed, when I've got too much to do, I go even more into my shell and I just ignore everything and I just concentrate on what I'm doing. And it's probably the worst thing you can do, especially when you're self-employed, because there's no one else who's going to answer the phone for you. Yeah. So
no, that's it. And they're all making up ideas in their head, like, oh, they don't want to talk to me, something's gone wrong, you know, and they're like thinking all this stress and really you just like didn't want to answer the phone, you know, and nothing was actually wrong. So I think, it's a hard one.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously you're now running the business. I mean, how many years have you been looking after hopefully your dad's,
without giving away your age,
your dad's better now. Yeah, well, nobody has to give us their age, but just
go on, how old are you?
I'm 26 now, so we'll say like 4 or 5 years I've been doing this side of the managing,
and the business still going well, everything's fine for you over there, you still
like everyone was pretty hard hit with COVID over here. I'm sure you guys were as well. Like, we had the lockdowns and everything like that. We were fortunate. We got to keep working because we're, like, doing some servicing that we needed to do. But I think it's changed so many people's mindsets. And I think that coming out that end of COVID is, we're just trying to manage that now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, did you find that the work stayed consistent for you? When we spoke to Matt, he basically said, Matt Addicted to Tools, he said that his work initially, when it sort of first got announced, I think everybody sort of panicked and went like that, he said, but then it quickly went back to sort of how it was, and it's been consistent for him. Over here, a lot of the trades have been busier than ever, but because of the price of materials, or, you know, just the volume of work, people haven't been able to actually get stuff done. They're just so busy.
I think one of the things we found over here, and it might be the same for you, that people, because they weren't allowed to go on holiday, the money that they would have spent on holiday, they decided to spend on home improvements, which made all the trades busy. But then the price of materials going up and actually and getting materials.
Yeah.
I mean, did you suffer from that sort of side of things as well, where, you know, trying to get stuff, materials for you, was that another problem over there?
Yeah, we're still struggling now. Like, we've got stock delays for 6 to 12 months on some products at the moment, so we don't know when we're going to see stuff. And we found that, like, a lot of places shut down, so it was a good chance to do some service work, and especially, like, we do a lot of commercial work, so it was like, all right, everything's shut, let's renovate, let's refurb, let's get all that stuff you can't really do because you're shutting down power done. So that was, it definitely picked up for us. Coming out the back end of it, I'd say now people are a bit more cautious with their money because they've obviously either spent through COVID, or they're just trying to get back on track, and now they want to do their holidays, and now they want to go and do all those fun things they haven't been able to do. So it's just kind of a bit of a wave at the moment of where the money wants to be spent. Yeah.
Are you finding that people are starting to sort of tighten the belts because of the price of, like, fuel, or the price of just groceries and stuff like that? Are you finding that that's obviously having an impact on people, where they would have thought, well, maybe I'll do this job, but actually I'll hold back on that? Is that something that's rearing its head over there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think as well, we have to quote jobs appropriately now, like, for appropriately, like, money, like, we have to put margins on things. And I think people are realizing jobs are maybe a bit more expensive than they were hoping they were going to be. But, you know, we've got petrol prices going through the roof, we've got stock delays, we've got market, like, coppers going through the roof, you know, so it's, everyone's like in a bit of a weird place at the moment about trying to be a bit more conservative with their money, because we don't know how much it's actually going to inflate over the next little bit of time.
So 26, you've been running the business now for 5 years. When did you start your social media, and what was the motivation to start your social media?
So I started Instagram 2019 and it was, I think I did a podcast with Tradeswomen Australia And then I just really started to enjoy actually sharing what I was doing and realized that I might be able to help people that way. I was very fresh to it. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And then I was fortunate enough to do an ad with Blundstones, and that really kind of took off my page and started sharing my story from there. It was really focused on connecting with women that were in the trade, because I didn't have any women friends in the trade. And then I found this whole side of Instagram that's like trade related that I didn't know even existed. And then it was more sharing my passion for work and tools and everything like that, and just kind of building on the way.
So what have you, so you're using your social media platform to promote women in the trades, encourage girls into a trade. Has it given you any opportunities?
Yeah. I've had some pretty cool opportunities. I've just been able to work with a lot of cool brands that I'd never thought I would be able to, you know, like working with you guys, like being here, like I never expected to be able to do anything like this. And then just being able to work with a heap of other tools like Milwaukee and DeWalt, and then some input into like clothing, like working out some women's trade clothing, because that didn't exist when I started. Like I was wearing men's like size 35 pants because they didn't make women's clothes small enough for me, you know? So being able to see the evolution of that over the last 3 years has been really, really fun. And I think it's definitely going places now, which is cool.
So you started in 2019. Do you sometimes wish you'd started earlier, maybe when you first started your apprenticeship? I'm just thinking, if there's any girls watching this that are just new into the trade, maybe they should think about a social media channel sooner rather than later.
I think that's another hard thing for girls as well, is because, you know, society places this, you should be pretty and proper and wear a dress and you should be bougie and all that type of stuff. No, but it is like, if you go onto social
media... Not in my world.
If you go onto social media, like, especially with the fitness industry and stuff like that, there's so many girls that stand there doing the same poses and stuff like that. So I think, like, sometimes for a girl that's going into the trades, maybe she's like a bit like, hold on a minute, I've got to wear these, you know, these oversized clothes that don't fit me because I can't find anything. And maybe they worry about putting themselves
The thing is, like, so if you look at my social media page, you mainly see my work. You don't very often see a picture of me on my stories, yeah, because sometimes I talk to the camera. But for me, it's all about the job. Why can't a female trade who is doing a job just post pictures of the work? They don't have to stand in front of it.
No, but like, I think some girls might think that that's like, you know, they have to show themselves on social media and talk about the work and stuff like that. And maybe they get a bit more worried or apprehensive about wearing these, because not like you said, there's never any clothes that fit you. You know, so it's great that you're working on stuff with brands to actually improve that, because, you know,
would that stop you from posting your work?
But if you've got to talk about it, if you're talking on camera and you don't feel comfortable in your clothes that you're wearing, you might be a bit apprehensive. I would, if I went out somewhere and I was wearing something that looked a bit like it, I'd be like, no photos, please.
Yeah, but you turn up today in those shorts.
Well, you can't see my shorts because I'm sat at the desk. That's why.
He's not even wearing any shorts.
A big one that I find on socials for young women that are going into the trade is how horrible men can be. Like, I'm not saying all men, but I'm saying, like, if there was a young female apprentice out there and she maybe posted something, like, men are a lot more critical of, I feel like, potentially our work, being like, you shouldn't have done it like that, you're not capable. And copping that backlash so young is really a hard thing to manage. Like, I still get horrible comments all the time, but I'm used to it now. Like, I don't care anymore. But when somebody does send something, or like, even, yeah, like, just some of the things that men send me, I'm like, you're on the wrong side of Instagram, guys. Like, I don't do that stuff, you know? And I think that can be really intimidating if you're only like 19, or you're just like trying to work your way through being in a male dominated industry. You've got to be kind of ready for potentially some of that stuff as well. And that can be pretty daunting, which is unfortunate, but it is the way of what happens, you know, like, it is real.
Yeah. I mean, we see that even with male apprentices, there's always someone who, to try and make themselves feel better, will put someone else's down. And what you'll generally find is the guys that are like that, who are saying you should have done that, you should have done that, never post their own work. They're just hiding behind their keyboard, opinionated. They say something just for the sake of saying it. They wind me up, those guys.
Yeah, well, you get a lot of them anyway.
Yeah.
I don't, because I'm insignificant, which is great.
But I can imagine, yeah, it would, if you're new to the trade, gender, you know, out the window, if you're new to the trade and you're brave enough to put some work out there and then someone's like, eh, you should have done that, it would put anyone off. So, yeah, that's the downside to social media. Do you find that when someone does have a negative comment to say that your followers will jump on it and back you up kind of thing?
Definitely. I think that I'm pretty, like, to be honest, some of the stuff I just delete because I can't be bothered dealing with it. Like, I'm like, you don't deserve to be here, so go away. You know, like, that's not what my page is about. But if somebody does comment something, I know a heap of the people around me will jump on and say, like, just stop, you know. So I'm lucky to have that support network now. But yeah, it can be hard. And I can see that's why some people would be a bit tentative about doing it. But I do recommend, like, if you're a young apprentice, like, just at least follow the account so you can kind of see an insight and then decide whether or not you want to jump into that realm of social media as well.
Yeah, because all I'm thinking is the sooner they get on it, the more time they've got to grow their page, and then the more opportunities they'll get. Because you do see a lot of apprentices, but I just sometimes wish that I'd started my social media when I was an apprentice, because then I would have documented my whole career. I didn't start till I was like 30. So
it wasn't a massive thing back then.
No, it wasn't, but it is now. So I'm just I want it to get it across to people that are watching this, that the best time to start
a social. It becomes like a diary as well, of all your work and your time in the trade and your progression, so you can look back and think, God, did my hair look like that, or was my work that bad, or whatever.
But imagine you're an apprentice electrician, and then 2 years into your apprenticeship, you walk in absolutely decked in Milwaukee workwear, you got brand new tools because you've... You've made the effort to make a social page, and then you've got these opportunities. Yeah. Like,
I mean, the stuff that I think a lot of people don't realise is that, you know, social media does open up those opportunities. Like you mentioned, you work with some fantastic brands. And I think, like you're saying, it's important to stress to an apprentice, like, the value of doing stuff that isn't always work-related. Well, it is work-related, but it's not like you're not on the tools all the time. You get to go to these... events.
Yeah, but on the tools is like just one part of our job. There's obviously the business side of it, and then there's the tools, the workwear, and all these things together. There's just opportunities in each thing. You don't have to just go to work and be an electrician. You can do so much more if you've got the motivation to do it. And if you put the work in, you grow a channel like yours, you get opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think I love seeing how many pages are out there now. I love, like, getting a message from, like, some young women and saying, I've just picked up my apprenticeship, I've started this new page, can you follow it? Like, I think it's really cool to do. And yeah, as you said, opportunities are endless now. Like, obviously moving into TikTok world, and like that, I'm still not there yet. Like, but Instagram, and I think there's so many opportunities if you want to go down that avenue, you know, like, you can really make the most of it.
Who's one account then that you would recommend for people to follow, and why? I always ask this question. If you had to say, obviously not your own, another account that you enjoy their content and, you know, you like their work, who's one person that you would say to go and follow, to everybody listening or watching there?
I think it's really dependent on what you want. Like, if you want other women, you know, like Sparky Girl NZ, she does some awesome stuff for women in trade. And obviously Bards Builds as well. They're like two of my favorite girls. But then on the side, if you want like interesting tool stuff, like obviously Matt, Addicted to Tools, he's got so many tool things. So it really kind of depends on what you're wanting to get out of what you're following on Instagram.
Okay.
But they're probably the three.
So we'll sort of try and wrap it up here. What does the future hold for you then, and, you know, what you're doing? What's the, you know, if you see where you are now and where you've come from when you were 21 in that 5-year time frame, what would you like to achieve, and what do you feel that, you know, you really want to do, whether that's with inside the trade or outside, you know, being an ambassador for brands? What do you see the future being for you and the business?
I'd love to get the business to a point where I can take some time off and do some more of this kind of stuff. You know, like I love getting out there, and if I could travel and talk to women or encourage anyone to get into the trade and use my knowledge to help people, that is something that I'm super passionate about. So I'm hoping that I can maybe build the business this year to where it's at a stable place where I can kind of take some time off and come back and just kind of see it from the top, and then go and do all this stuff and get out there and be an ambassador for getting into the trade. That is a really big dream of mine.
Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, thank you very much, Sammy. You know, is it like from me, it's always good to speak to people from all over the world, because it gives everybody that's listening or watching a different perspective. And it's great to hear sort of your progression. And we wish you all the best in the future. And thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much for having me.
No worries, Tammy.
Awesome. What time is it there, by the way?
It is just 10 past 11 at night.
How is it?
Wow.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is actually, isn't it? Yeah, because it's midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on we're lunchtime.
Yeah. Sorry for keeping you up so late, Tammy.
Alex is going to treat you to lunch. Good, yeah.
No, all the best anyway. But yeah, nice to finally actually talk on the phone to you just from the Unilight perspective, because we've never actually sort of had a conversation or anything like that. So thank you very much for all the help that you do with us as a brand as well. So
yeah, awesome. It's been so fun working with you guys. I really love it. So it's good.
No worries. But yeah, got loads of stuff for you anyway in the future. Any stuff that you see that you haven't got as well, message me and I'll get it sent over for you.
He never sends me stuff.
He just comes in and takes it. He comes in and takes it. He goes, oh, what have you got? Oh, you got one of these. Yeah.
He promised me a Stanley knife about 6 months ago. Everyone else has got one except me.
Hold on a minute. You came in and pinched some of the ultra grind
don't
wipes
don't
as well,
didn't
you?
Don't listen to him.
I've been looking for them and you half inched them. Anyway, we'll stop arguing amongst ourselves and I'll let you.
Thank you, Tammy.
I'll let you get to. And hopefully. Amazing. Hopefully. I mean, I'm in Australia in April because I'm going over to see my dad, but at some point, like with the US, it would be good for like getting all of us over there and come and bring Trade Legends over to Australia and do like a little mini tour. So
hang on a minute, what's the Huntsman spider situation?
No, Huntsmen are big, but it's the little ones that
they're just pets. You just keep them as pets, it's fine. They stay in my bathroom and I leave them there for a couple of days, it's good.
Thinking that white wall, the spider's just going to crawl across the back of the screen.
Everywhere.
It's the little ones, isn't it, Tammy, that you
got
the
ones
watch.
Under the toilet seat you've got to watch.
Yeah, it's the little ones.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, you never see a lot of stuff like that. Everyone's always, I can't go to Australia because of the creepy crawlies. But actually, it's not that much. Dick gets a python.
I don't know. It depends on what part of Australia you go to, I guess, because we get a few around here.
my old man gets a few, but it's not like... It's nothing major.
It's not like every day. It's just every now and then.
Yeah. Killer spider just walks around.
Pete just wants to come and see a huntsman. You don't want one of them on your face anyway. They're like that. So.
No, that's it.
So yeah. Thanks, Tammy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. See ya.
All the best.
Bye.
See ya.